Today we'll be looking at the believer's priesthood. Wow, the believer's priesthood. You can see on the screen the high priest surrounded by the priests. Those on white gowns with bonnets in their head. And the people are looking to them. The believer's priesthood. Somebody look to your neighbor and say, do you know I am a priest? Say it again. Do you know I am a priest? One of the benefits of our salvation is that we have been made priests unto our God. Can we have our slide to make it faster? The Lord Jesus has made us priests. Once you give your life to Christ, or once you are born again, once you are saved genuinely, you are no longer an ordinary person. You have become a priest. You are a priest unto God. Now, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. One of the problems that many of us have is that we don't know who we are in Christ. We don't know what God has done for us. We don't know what Christ has achieved for us. Are we together? There's something knowledge does to you. Knowledge is power. The Bible says that they that know their God will be strong and they will do exploits. Knowledge is power. Knowledge keeps you in a high platform. Knowledge separates you from others. When you know who you are and what God has done for you, there's a holy pride, if I may say, a holy pride that comes upon you. Are we together? The burden of the overseer of this church is always saying it. And we, his ministers that follow him, we share the same burden. It's to what? To make the believer, to establish the believer, that the believer can be connected to God. The vision of this ministry has never been for the pulpit to point the pew to the pulpit, for the pastors to point the people to himself or to themselves. No. True ministry is to make the people get connected to God. Once that is achieved, the ministry is fulfilled. Somebody shout hallelujah. And in doing so, we need to teach the people things for them to know who they are. Believers in Christ, children of God. Are children of God here this morning? Children of God, you are a priest. Now we'll look at it, God willing, if you don't finish today, hopefully next Sunday we can round it up. It's just a picture I want to paint. But at the same time, I want us to scan through the Bible and see some things. Now look at Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6, what the Bible says about you. It says that Jesus has made us what? Kings and priests unto God. You are not just a priest, you are even a king. But we are not going to your kingship today. Today we want to look at your priesthood. He said he had made us what? Kings and priests unto God. 1 Peter 2 verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. Let's take down those scriptures so that the people can know what we are saying. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. An holy what? An holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Go to verse 9 of this same 1 Peter 2. But ye are a chosen generation. You are also a royal priesthood. I have edited the lyrics. You are also a royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests. An holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. My emphasis is what? You are a priest. Hey, somebody will be liberated today. Revelation chapter 5 verse 10. Revelation chapter 5 verse 10. He said, and has made us unto our God. Not only am I a priest, I'm even a king. King Olumide Jesus David. And I have angels surrounding me. If you doubt it, come and try me. Backslide. go to a native doctor or become a witch and come and try me. And you will know that I'm not an ordinary person. I am a king, and I'm not just a king, I am a priest. And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And our priesthood continues even till eternal ages. Revelation 20:6. Revelation 20:6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ. So even in the millennium, your priesthood continues. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, who is a priest? I didn't read anything I'm saying here from any book. It is my understanding I penned down. A priest is one who is separated to the divine service of God. He is one that is ordained to come near to God, to offer acceptable sacrifices unto him. That's the definition. One who is separated. That separation is consecrated to the divine service of God. Now, a priest is different from just any servant of God. Anybody can be a servant of God. Do you know that even Satan is God's servant? If you know, say yes now. That's another mystery. Nebuchadnezzar was a servant of God. Anytime the children of God sinned when they came to the promised land, the Bible said God will raise up Philistines, Amorites, Moabites, and cause them to go and deal with the children of Israel. Why? They were his servants. He said, for this purpose I have raised up Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a servant of God. So when we talk of priesthood, we are not just talking of servant of God, because God can use anybody for anything. He said that he gives his gift to all men, even to the rebellious. That is not what we're talking of. A priest is somebody that is ordained to come near to God. He's involved in the divine service of God. When we talk of divine service, we are talking about the throne of God. We are talking about the worship of God. We are talking about the temple of God. The Bible says in Psalm 65:4, if I'm not mistaken, it says that blessed is the man whom thou causest to approach unto thee. I just remember that scripture, Psalm 65:4. Thank you. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy court. That is a priest. It is not everybody that professes God that is a priest. God chooses his priests because they are involved in his worship. They are involved in his service. So one that is ordained for divine service to God is a priest. Like I said, note, priests are different from any vessel that God uses for any purpose. The chief reward, or how will I put it? The chief privilege of a priest is that they have access to God. They have access to God, and they are ordained by him to offer sacrifices to him alone. So one that is set apart, one that is consecrated, one that is separated for God's service, consecrated unto the Lord, is a priest. For example, angels are a type of priest because they are ordained to worship him only. You see in heaven, said the angels are worshiping. They have become priests. They are ordained for his service alone. If you are still with me, shout hallelujah. Praise the living God. So, one of the benefits of our salvation, next slide, is that the Lord Jesus has made us priests. You understand it better. The first mention of the word priest is in Genesis 14:18. Melchizedek, Genesis 14:18, not 16. Verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest. He was the priest, not a priest. He was the priest of the Most High God. We will get to that later. One who is a priest is one that is completely set apart for God. Jesus has made us believers priests. Somebody say amen. So let's go to the next slide. Let's trace the priesthood. Like I said, the first mention of that word priest is in Melchizedek 14:18. Melchizedek met Abraham, and the Bible said he brought forth bread and wine. That was a memorial of a sacrifice. When Jesus was going to the cross, the last thing he did with his disciples was he offered them what? Bread and wine. He instituted the communion. And he said we should do it in remembrance of him. So whenever we come to the Lord's table to take the communion, we are remembering the sacrifice that the Lord did. So Melchizedek bringing bread and wine to Abraham is speaking of the sacrifice of Christ ahead. But what do we learn about the presence of Melchizedek? It is to let us know that in the old plan of salvation for man, the office of a priest will be required. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are in a class. If you don't understand, say I don't understand. I'm fast. I've told us we need to go beyond milk. Not every day we'll be coming saying repent, water baptism in Jesus' name. There are deep things in the Bible we need to know. I said the first mention, this is just by the way, Melchizedek was a type of Christ. Why am I bringing in Melchizedek? That's the first place in the scriptures that you will see the word priest. It was referring to Melchizedek. Before the law came, we just finished dispensations and we said there were different ages, different periods. Before the dispensation of the law, the head of each family, of every family, acted as the priest. It was the head of the family that would take a sacrifice, build an altar, and offer sacrifice to God. So before the law, the head of each family acted as a priest. For example, look at Noah in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Genesis 8, 20, Noah. What did Noah do? Noah built an altar unto the Lord. Why was he Noah? Why was he not his sons? It was because Noah was the head of that family. Same thing, if you go to Exodus 2:16, the Bible said Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, was the priest of Midian. In Genesis 22, God spoke to Abraham, go and offer up Isaac. It was because Abraham was the head of that family. Are we together? So before the dispensation of the law, the head of the family was the one that would offer sacrifice. Don't forget the story of Job. After the children of Job began to do parties, they began party all day, all night. The Bible says Job will come and offer sacrifice on their behalf and say, I don't know whether they have cursed God in their mind. He was the head of the family. But when God gave the children of Israel the law, God established this principle. What is that principle? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4 to 5. Let's read it. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4. It says, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. Now, what is that principle? Go back to the slide. The principle is that it is God himself that chooses his priest. It is God himself that chooses who will be the priest, who is the priest. You can't just wake up and say, I am a priest. In fact, under the law, God chose just one family to be the priest for the old children of Israel. That's the family of who? Not just the family of Levites. The Levites were ministers to the priest. The priesthood belonged to Aaron and his family. Are we together? The Levites, they were ministers to the priest. If you read Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you see where God told Moses that, tell Aaron, I have given the Levite unto you. The Levites are like ministers unto the priest, helping the priest. But the real priesthood was given to the family of Aaron and Aaron only. That was why when you come to Numbers 16, something happened. Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, they rose up. They started talking. You people are taking too much upon you. Everybody is holy. Why do you want to be the priest only? Why is it only you? Is it only you people that God is using? Moses said something to them. He said, despite that God has chosen you children of Levi to assist, why are you seeking the priesthood also? But they will not listen. They continued rebelling. And what happened? God executed a speedy judgment upon them because they desired the office of the priesthood. So what lesson are we learning from that? It is God that chooses his priest. If God did not choose you to be a priest, you have no right to take that honor upon yourself. If you do, the end result is death. It is rebellion towards God. Imagine when David was king, another person should come up and say, no, I am the king of Israel. Who did God anoint to be the king? Church. David. So if somebody else had come up and said, no, it is me, what will happen? God himself will help David to kill that person. So also it is with the priest. God chose that family, Aaron and his descendants. You can see it in Exodus 28 verse 1. Let's read some scriptures. Don't worry, we are tracing the priesthood. We will soon land to where we are going to. This is God talking to Moses. Take thou Aaron thy brother and his sons with him. From where? From among all the children of Israel. That he may do what? That he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Look at verse 3. The same Exodus 28. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garment to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now go to verse 41 of this same Exodus 28. For you to see that it is God himself that chose Aaron. Aaron did not take the honor upon himself. Now, after they've made the special garment, he said, thou shalt put them upon Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him. You will anoint him. So, to be a priest, you must also be anointed into that office. Are you getting it? And consecrate him and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. God chose Aaron. See it again in Exodus 29, verse 9. Aaron did not wake up one morning and say, Moses, you know you are my younger brother. We know you are the prophet of Israel. Let me also occupy a position. Make me your priest. No. God chooses his priest. He says, thou shalt guide them with Gedus, Aaron and his sons, and put a bonnet on them. Now, see something. And the priest's office shall be theirs for what? A perpetual statute for everlasting. And thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. He said, it is their own. Nobody has a right to come near. Are we together? Don't come and say Aaron and his sons are not spiritual. I believe I am more spiritual than them. What was the sin of Saul? The first sin Saul committed before the one in 1 Samuel 15 where God told him to go and kill the Amalekites. The first thing he committed was in 1 Samuel 13. He intruded into the priest's office. Samuel told Saul to wait for him for 7 days. Wait for me in Gilgal in 7 days. I will come. Samuel was a priest and a prophet. I will come and I will offer the sacrifice. It pertains only to the office of the priest to offer sacrifice. But what did Saul do? Saul waited the 7 days. Samuel delayed. And the Bible said that Saul said he forced himself. He brought the animal and he offered it. As soon as he finished offering the animals, Samuel appeared. He asked him, what is this that thou hast done? He said, because I saw that you delayed and the people are going from me, I forced myself therefore. And Samuel passed the prophecy to him. Even if it took many years for that prophecy to be fulfilled, it was cut off from God. So what do we learn from that? God himself chooses his priests. In all the tribe of Israel, there was only one family that God chose. And said, these are the people that will offer sacrifices to me. Even you, Prophet Isaiah, Prophet Elijah, Prophet Jeremiah, Prophet whatever, no matter how spiritual you are, if you want to offer a sacrifice to God, you must come through the priest. If the only priest in the land is that son of Aaron that is Cana, you have no choice, you must go through him. In the days of Eli, the sons of Eli, they were very sinful and Cana. But you cannot say because the sons of Eli are Cana, then me, I will offer my sacrifice by myself. I will not take it to the temple. If you do so, God himself will come and judge you. But when God will judge the sons of Eli, he judged them in his own time. Are we together? So nobody has a right to come near to offer any sacrifice if you are not a priest. I'm saying all this from the Bible so that I want you to begin to reprogram your mind on who you are as a Christian. What is expected of you and where you are standing as a Christian. Offering of sacrifices pertained only to the priest. Do you know that when they built the temple after they arrived in the promised land, People cannot enter the temple. They can only stay in the courts. What is the court? We are talking of compound. Now, this is the temple. If you go outside this compound, the perimeter of our fence, that is the court. So when people come, they can only stay outside the building. They can't enter. But only the priests have access to enter into the presence of God. Only the priests could enter, offer sacrifices. Every morning, they'll go and offer incense. Every morning, they'll go and light the lamps in the temple. So the priest had a privilege that others did not have. He had what? Access to God. The priest was a partner with God in the service of God. Are we together? When other children of Israel are afraid to come near God, the priest will wake up, whether he has bath or not, he will just enter the temple. That was the rare privilege a priest had. Access to God. So when the Lord Jesus is saying that he has made us priests, what does that say about us? Let's move on. You will get it. Next slide. Next slide, number 5. Now, see something. The priests were like a mediator between God and the people. All the services of God belonged to them only. The people could not access God without them. The book of Leviticus proves this. Any sacrifice you are bringing, if you like, go and bring that animal. When you come, it is the priest that will collect it, that will kill it, that will sprinkle the blood and bless you and pray for you. You can't do it. So they needed priests. The people of God could not do without the presence of priests. To access God, the office of the priesthood is required. Not only were they the mediators between God and the people, they were also intercessors for the people. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 to 27. God even commanded them that, told Moses, say, let Aaron and his sons, Numbers 6, 22, can we read it? Let them bless the children of Israel. So in other words, God had elevated the priest above the people. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. IT, can we have it, please? God had elevated the priest above the people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise shall ye do what? Shall ye bless the children of Israel? So the priests were commanded to pray for them. Not even Moses. It is the priest that said, the Lord bless thee and the Lord keep thee. Verse 25. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Next verse. The Lord causes his face to shine upon you and give thee peace. So on. It was pertaining to the priest to bless the people, to pray for the people. That's why when God was talking through Ezekiel, he said, I sought for a man that will stand in gap and make a hedge that will not destroy the people. At that particular point, all the priests had backslided. There was nobody to intercede for the people. So the people of God need priests. Not only were they intercessors, they were also to teach the people how to walk with God. They were to teach the people the law. Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. The priest, it says, for the priest's lips should do what? Should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. Why? He is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Can you see who a priest is? Is somebody seeing it? If you are with me, shout hallelujah. If you are not getting it, you can listen to it later. Can you see who the priests are? They had access to God. They were intercessors. They were to teach the people the law. They were special people. The priests were special people. And in the Old Testament, under the law, there were priests and there was only one high priest. It started with Aaron. When Aaron died, one of his children would be made priest. And what did they do also? They ministered to an earthly sanctuary. That's the priest under the law. They minister to an earthly temple. Now, let us go to the believer's priesthood. Next slide. Now let's come down home. This is the message now. Under this dispensation of grace, the priesthood is changed. Somebody caught it. There is a change in administration. There is a change in operation. What are you saying? Before, only one family out of the numerous families in Israel. Only one family from one tribe, not even the whole tribe, from one tribe. From the tribe of Levi, God picked Aaron. And only the sons of Aaron could be priests. But under this dispensation, see something, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12. Hebrews 7, 12, please. It says, for the priesthood is what? Being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now let's go back. In this dispensation of grace, all believers that are born again are priests. Mommy, God bless you. You are in the spirit. If this does not excite you, I wonder what excites you as a Christian. I keep saying it. It is not for mature Christians for a prophet to pick you and say, I see a star, I see glory, you are great, you are that. All those are for baby Christians to lift up your faith. I don't need any prophecy to tell me any plan God has for me. He already says, the thought he has for me is to give me what? An expected end. He already caused me to know that I am a king and I am a priest. So when I come by Olum there, I see a great star, I see glory. No, 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 you are not giving me prophecy. Are we together? Why am I saying this? All believers are priests in the New Testament. We've read those scriptures. This means that we have access to God. You have access to God. Our high priest is the Lord Jesus after the order of Melchizedek. We know that. The scripture is Hebrews 7, 1 to 4 and verse 17. All believers are priests. So what Aaron and his children had the sole privilege of enjoying, you now have it. Do you know the meaning of this? You don't need anybody to help you reach God. I wish the Catholics can understand this. Then you will not say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are thou among women, only Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. No, I don't need anybody's prayer. We are priests. The meaning is you don't need anybody to help you access God. The meaning is that you are close to God. Hey, somebody is not getting it. If this can sink, your Christianity will change. This idea of Saint Jude, pray for me. Saint Nnamdi, pray for me. Saint Fatai, pray for me. Today it is prophet. This one, pray for me. Prophet, that one. All that will change. Pastor Moses said it, that you don't pray for a believer, you pray with a believer. There are two different things. Are we together? If you know you're a priest, it will remove some doubts, some worry, some fear in your life. See, let me say something. Your priesthood has nothing to do with the fivefold ministry. Are we together? Aaron and his children were the priests in the Old Testament, but you had prophets from everywhere. The fact that you are a prophet doesn't make you a priest in the Old Testament. And you could be a priest and you had no gift. When we talk of priesthood, we say you have access to God. The Lord says in Psalm, He said, the Lord is near to them that call him, to them that call him in truth. The meaning is that you can pray and God can answer. Can you tell your neighbor, do you know that God can answer your prayer? Please tell your neighbor that. Do you know that God can answer your prayer? Stop looking down on yourself as a Christian. I'm not special than you that is not preaching. Preaching, pastoral work is a gift. It has nothing to do with the priesthood. If you followed Rapture Watch yesterday, our topic was pastor worship. And almost all Christians in one way or the other are involved in pastor worship. If you missed it, please go and get it. Pastor worship, that was our topic of discussion in Rapture Watch. It was a bomb. Almost all Christians or the elder are in one way involved in pastor worship. Why do you look upon a man of God as if he's more special than you, he's more unique than you? Look upon me differently only if you have not received the Holy Ghost and you know I've received the Holy Ghost. Then you'll be admiring what I have.
But if you have been baptized with the Holy Ghost, you are a priest. There is no difference between you and any pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher. They only have gifts that God will use to help in his ministry. You can access God. You have access to God. Praise the living God. You are near to God. When you are a priest, it also means that angels surround you. We need to remove some things from us and know who we are in Christ. Are we together? We need to remove some things from our head and know who we are in Christ. Why is your faith more on a pastor? Why is your trust more in a church than in your own personal relationship with God? Yes, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Pastor explained why in the teaching last week. Also, when we come, we are there to exhort ourselves. Each one of us is also a fire. And when all this fire comes, it becomes a big bowl of fire. That is fine. But you have an access to God that many of us are not making proper use of. Nobody has a right to pray for you over anything when you have not prayed about it yourself. Ecclesiastes, the wise man, says something. He said, I have seen princes walking on foot and servants sitting on horses. That is what is going on among many Christians. You have access to God. I want it to drive home. God is not far from you. And it is not a result of what you have done. It is a result of what Christ did for you. You can talk, and God should, must, is obligated to answer. Are we together? You can pray, and God is not if God will hear your prayer. God has heard your prayer. You are a priest. Praise the living God. So let our mindset change about who we are in Christ. Now, under the law, the priests were always offering animal sacrifices every day. When the people bring their offerings, they will offer it. When the people bring their tithes, they will offer it. When the people bring anything, it was the priest to offer it. But in this dispensation of grace, what we offer is different. The following sacrifices that we are required to offer as a priest are listed below. One, as a priest, your sacrifice, your first sacrifice, is not any animal. Your first sacrifice is not any goat or ram. Your first sacrifice is yourself, your own living body. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? You present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why did he use the word a living sacrifice? When a sacrifice is brought, it is killed. When a sacrifice is brought, it is killed. But you are alive. So he said, you are alive. You are living. So have the mindset that you are dead. You are a sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Can we read it? Only acceptable unto God. Which is a reasonable what? Which is a... Please go back to verse 1. IT, follow me, please. Which is a reasonable... The service of Aaron and his sons were different. Every morning they will come and light the lamps. They will carry incense and enter the temple. They will slaughter animal. They will pour drink offering. They will use grain offering. But the sacrifices that we are to offer is what? Our own living body. He says it is our reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Can you see it? So what are you to offer? There is no priesthood without sacrifice and offering. There is no priesthood that does not offer sacrifices and offerings. So in the New Testament, the believer's priesthood also must have something to offer. And the first thing we offer is our own body, is our own self. That is why you could see people like Apostle Paul, when he was going to die, in 2 Timothy 4:6, he said, I am now ready to be offered. You could see Apostle Paul, he will say, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Why will he make such statements? It's because he is offered unto God. Now, if you don't know you're a priest, you will not even know what is required of you. It is required of you as a priest to offer yourself unto God. This is the reason we live a life pleasing before God. This is the reason we try to live holy. This is the reason we do that is pleasing to Him and Him alone. Your whole body, your whole self. Why is He using body? Because the body is the house of the man. So He's saying your whole self should be offered unto the Lord. You can't do what God does not want. In offering your body, it even cuts across into your fashion. It cuts across what you do, what you don't do. Are we together? It is required of priesthood. I love the song that says, I have murdered a song today. I brought myself. I am what? I am your sacrifice. I have more than a song today. I brought myself. I am your worship. He says, receive this living sacrifice. I am. Can you see it? That is somebody that has caught a revelation. In offering our body, we need to put to death the deeds of the flesh. We need to allow the fruit of the Spirit to manifest in us. Before we go there, let's list out other things. The believer doesn't only offer his body. The believer also offers his substance. Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Romans 12, 13. Can we read those scriptures? Distributing to the necessity of saints, giving to hospitality. The next scripture there on the slide. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 to 10. What does it say? Let him that is taught in the world communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. These are all commandments. Be not deceived, God is no more. Verse 8. For he that sweareth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sweareth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9 and 10. Let us not be weary in well doing. Why? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Now, what does this let us know? That the substance of a believer is supposed to be rich in good works. If you're a Christian and you are selfish and stingy, you are not offering the sacrifices of a priest. The Bible says you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Are we together? Apart from offering your body in living a life pleasing unto God, in living a life acceptable unto God, your substance also is part of what you offer as a priest. Praise the Lord. Your substance is also part of what you offer as a priest. If your Christianity has not reached your substance, your Christianity is not yet complete. We are called to live a sacrificial life. One of the symbols of the cross is what? Selflessness. So a priest must offer his life, his body, in living a life that God likes. That is why we don't follow the things of the world. He says we should not be conformed to the world, but we should be transformed by the renewal of our mind, because we are priests. If this is settled, brothers, you will not be asking, where does the Bible say we should not drink alcohol? When you know you're a priest, that removes that question. Because under the law, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, they were killed because they drank alcohol. Leviticus 10. They drank alcohol and entered. The Bible said they offered strange fire. And what happened? It says a fire from the Lord devoured them. Then God started telling Moses, tell the sons of Aaron, when you are coming near me, don't taste alcohol. That is enough for you to know that you have no right as a Christian to drink alcohol except on the Lord's table. When you know you're a priest, even your fashions declare it. What this means is that your life is not your own. Your life belongs to Jesus. Praise the living God. Because the sacrifice you are offering, you're not offering any external sacrifice. You are offering the sacrifice of yourself as a priest. Your life is not yours. You are only a servant. Somebody says we are nothing but pencils in the hand of the Creator. So you should be like a sheep. Where he leads me, I will follow. That should be your mindset. Apart Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he says, if we believe that one died for all and all were dead, he said, then let them that he died for, let them also live their life for him that died for them. I'm paraphrasing. Your life is not about you anymore. You are a priest that offers self-sacrifice. Your sacrifice as a priest is the sacrifice of self. So how can you be a priest and you go contrary to what the word of God says? Are we together? How can you be a priest and you live in disobedience to God? Something is wrong with that sacrifice. If you understand that Jesus requires your life at his feet, how you serve him will be different. Jesus is not after your voice, choristers, coordinators. Jesus is not after your feet, standing. Sanitation, Jesus is not after your cleaning. Ministers, Jesus is not after your preaching and prophesying. The requirement of the Lord Jesus is much more than that. It's after you, your whole being, your whole self. So don't give Jesus your voice or give him your hand and your whole self is away from him. You are a priest and your sacrifice is a sacrifice of self. When you have offered self, you can now offer your substance. Another sacrifice that is required of priests is the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15. We bring the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13, 15. It says, by him therefore, let us offer what? Somebody say after me, praise is a sacrifice. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God once in a while. Eh? What is that sacrifice of praise? The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. This is why every service, I am going to church for service, every service program, praise and worship is what? Included. It is a command for priests. Don't wait till you come to church before you praise God. What he required from them every day was animal in the morning, animal at night. What he requires from you every day, in addition to your whole living body, in addition to your substance, is the sacrifice of praise. Praise should not be only when you feel good. Praise should not be when you receive a testimony. I didn't know he will honor me this way. No. The sacrifices of praise are part of your daily offering as a priest. Praise the Lord. Today we are combat about with so much troubles and problems. Many people only go to church. Many people are Christians because they want solution to some problems. We must move beyond such definition of Christianity. We must move beyond such. Paul and Silas were cast in the prison. They were not just cast in the prison. The Bible says stocks. That means their neck was bound, their hands were bound, their legs were bound. They can't turn about. They can't move about. Then in that place, they were doing what? He said they were praying and praising God in such a condition. You don't praise God only where everything is fine. If your daily devotion, your quiet time, every time you say you want to spend 1 hour with Jesus or any hour you want to spend, if all you do is, Father, every enemy, everywhere that gathered against me, Father, this year I must testify, you are praying the prayer of Gentiles. That should be the least in your communion with God. That should be the least in your communion with God. Pastor Moses said to us that if he's praying for 1 hour or 2 hours, he said 1 hour, 45 minutes can only be to praise God. Then the next 15 minutes, we'll start mentioning what he wants God to do for him. Sacrifices of praise are necessary. How many of us, when was the last time that you and your family gathered and, oh, this night or this morning, we'll just praise God? It's not about praying anything. Many of us don't do it anymore. You start your devotion, one praise song, two praise song. The next thing is fire, Father, Father, Father. Yeah, you don't know you're a priest. Praise is required from you. That is why some people say, what is God's food? It is his food because it is a sacrifice he wants from you. The Bible calls it what? Sacrifice of praise. So stop undermining praise and worship. I will see some people, praise and worship people going on in the church. They are so passive. Where some people will be lost in the spirit and be doing anyhow because they are praising God. It is part of the requirement of the priesthood. Sacrifice of our old self, sacrifice of our substance. When you know that your substance belongs to God, you don't hide any substance and say no. Priests believe that what they have is for God. When God requires it, you give it unto him. Sacrifice of praise to God. Now, next slide. There's also something that the priesthood does. The New Testament priests are also intercessors. Brethren, listen to me. I have not found the gift of intercession in the Bible. If you found it, can you show me? I have found the fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I've even found the office of a deacon. Then among the gifts in the body gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, I saw many, but I did not see the gift of intercessor. My intercessor be this one, no. Please tell your neighbor you are an intercessor. That is what the priesthood does for you. You might not be able to fast 3 days. Like those that fast 3 days. If only morning to 12 noon is what you can fast, you are not a priest or an intercessor because you fast long. You are first an intercessor because you're a priest. See it, 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for who? This is Paul writing to the church that they should be praying for people outside. Verse 2. For kings, today it will be for president, and for all that are in authority, all, whether it's Tinubu or not, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Next verse. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. That's why it was so foolish of Christians during the last election, when pastors would stand on the pulpit and be uplifting a politician, and be talking against others and be campaigning for one on the pulpit. That pastor doesn't know who he is. He says, all men, order in authority. So you have a mandate to intercede for others. This is why some of us have received prophecy that you are the one God wants to use to deliver your family. How many people have received such prophecy? How many people? No, we are talking to ourselves. We're a family. How many people have received such message that God wants to use you to liberate your family or bring light to your family? Almost all of us. It is nothing special. It is because of who you are as a priest. You see a prophet to pick you and tell you, you are the light of this family. Through you, God will do this. Through you, God will do that. It is nothing special. It is because of who you are as a priest. There is a mandate on you. If everybody in your extended family is dying on timely death, you have a mandate to stand and pray for that family, whether they are believers or not, and put an end to it. You cannot pray for God to save them. Salvation is of the Lord. If their name is not in the book of life, God will not save them. But through your prayers, things can change. You don't need to take any prophet to your house, your family in the east, for land liberation and say, I want to. Pray. Let the oil be anointed. Go there yourself. Stand and say, in my office as a priest, I anoint this compound and I put an end to every nonsense. See whether God will not back up his word. The anointing of a priest is higher than the anointing of the fivefold ministry. Because the anointing of a priest is authority. It's not fire. It's authority. It's authority. A slim policeman, imagine a car coming on 100 kilometers per hour. Let's say he's wearing a suit like me and he's doing like this. The car will clear him off. You don't have the power as a man to stop a car coming that way. But let me put on police uniform. No, let me use army in Nigeria because that's who everybody fears. Many people can drag with police, but when it reaches military, everybody, Shansa, let him do like this. I remember some years back, I was coming to church in Oshodi. It's like, whether it's a general or I don't know who was coming. Military police stopped the road for the person to pass. It was only one army with Koboko that stood with his gun, with Koboko. If they burn you, well, pass after he has done like this. Why? Authority. Now, I can decide to go and carry weight and look like an Oshua's nigger. I can't stop a vehicle that is coming on full speed. But if I wear a cloth that has authority, I can say stop and it will stop. So authority is higher than power or gift. Are we together? The priest has authority. You are an intercessor. Now, once you catch this revelation, then God blesses you with additional gifts. You all don't do. But whether you have a gift or not, you are an. You can change things. Your community, there is darkness. Stand as a priest and declare light in that community. I know the story of, okay, it is Pastor Zoe and his wife. Pastor Zoe was telling me that the estate they were living before they relocated, he said when they moved there, there was darkness. He was seeing it in the spirit. No progress, nothing, nothing. They started declaring prayer. He said sometimes those demons will attack his wife. He told me this. Now the whole estate is developed. Mommy, that's the estate you live. He told me the road. Haven't they done all the road? Mommy, wave your hand. He told me this. I was like, this is people that understand who they are. You are a priest. You don't take nonsense. Things are happening that you don't understand. Stand up as a priest. Declare fasting and prayer. And see whether God will not intervene in that situation. Praise the living God. A priest has the right of an intercessor. Nobody is a special intercessor. Nobody. We are all intercessors. We are mandated intercessors because we are priests. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Colossians 4, 12. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you. This man is always laboring fervently for you in prayers. They have not seen him. He's in the prison with Paul. But he's taking the office of an intercessor. You might not be the minister that goes on the field, but you have the grace to stand and intercede for them. You can intercede for Nigeria. And that is what the Bible commanded us in 1 Timothy 2. So instead of you to be fighting and dying out that this man must be the one to enter, why not stand as a priest and just pray and allow God have his way? I hope you are seeing it. That is who we are as priests. You have the right of intercession. You have access to God. And the New Testament priest, just like the children of Aaron, is also a teacher of the word of God. But how do you teach the word of God this time? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be what? The epistle of Christ. We teach the word of God now by our life, by the difference we make. The sons of Aaron will teach the law by reading it to the people. But you are the Bible that many people read. Many people don't go to church. Many people have lost faith in God. But there's a Christian on that street. There's a Christian in that office. There's a Christian in that market. There's a Christian in that school whose life will shine the light to them. That is what is required of a priest. So let's change our mindsets. Stop living an underprivileged Christian life. Stop lining up to see a man of God. I'm not against you coming for counseling. We can join faith to faith. I'm talking of you that has no faith. Your faith is entirely in that man of God. Pastor will come here and teach us power of the spoken word. Instead of you to go and exercise, you still come back. Pastor, just speak a word. Just speak a word. So all he has taught you, what has he achieved? If you come and say, I've been speaking, join me in speaking, is a different statement. So when you come for counseling to a minister, don't neglect your own authority. Don't neglect your own rights. Don't forsake the privileges you already have. If you have not prayed about that situation, don't come for counseling. If you have not sought the face of God about that condition, don't come for counseling. You have the same access to God. First, pray. If God speaks to you and the case is solved, you might not need to even come to that minister. I hope you are getting it. We are priests. We have access to God. So let us take up our priesthood. Let us offer the sacrifices of our body as the Bible declares. Let us offer the sacrifices of praise as the Bible declares. Let us offer the sacrifices of our substance as the Bible declares. And let us intercede as the Bible declares. These are the duties of a priest. Can we jam our hands together for the Lord? Time will fail us to take any question, but if you have any question, you can send to me personally or join us tomorrow night by 7 p.m. Thou my everlasting portion. Let's be on our feet, church.